Flag is down. Returned by Austin. Plenty of room. Great return. Still rolling. Flag is down. Austin into the end zone. Touchdown.
All right. How seriously is anyone taking the Steelers? 6-2. I do think I was looking back at their resume. They lost to the Cowboys. They lost to the Colts.
Mm-hmm.
They have a win over Atlanta, which is one of their better wins. That's the opener, though, right? The opener, Atlanta wasn't Atlanta yet, I don't think. They've really started to play a lot better since then. They have a win over the Chargers, who I want to say the same about. The Chargers are a little bit better now than they have been. And then their wins are Jets, Giants. You know, it's not too impressive.
Yep.
Denver. I think they beat Denver.
They did beat Denver.
Let me give you the Steelers' schedule from here. We just had Howard picks the Bills. You go ahead and pick their schedule from here, okay?
Okay.
They are 6-2. Commanders, loss. Ravens.
Where's the game?
Pittsburgh.
Win.
Okay, 7-3. At the Browns.
Loss.
7-4. At the Bengals.
Loss.
7-5. Home Browns.
Win.
8-5. At the Eagles.
Win.
9-5. At the Ravens.
Loss.
9-6. Home Chiefs.
Loss.
9-7. Home Bengals.
Loss.
9-8.
Okay. And I think I gave them a little credit on some of those.
Maybe.
At Philadelphia.
It's good they're stacking their wins early because the party's over.
Right. It's going to be very difficult.
A lot more difficult.
For them to get to 10 or 11, that's going to be very hard. They're going to have to do great in their own division. Is that right? All their division games are still coming?
They have not yet played a division game.
Okay. So they're going to have to thrive in their own division.
Yep.
And I don't think that's going to be easy. The Bengals are going to be playing desperate the rest of the way. The Ravens are great, and I've been saying it since he got hurt. I think the Browns are way better with Winston. They're a playoff caliber team with Winston in there. They're too far behind to make up for it, but yeah, I think that's going to be really tough for them. They are looking better, though, than I think they have in past years. Like, Wilson is an upgrade. Listen, like, for what they've done in recent years where they just scrap the 8-9 wins and then it's Mason Rudolph or it's Kenny Pickett and they're playing in a playoff game and they're like a 10-point underdog because their quarterback is like one of the worst and starting quarterbacks in football. Like, I don't think they're that right now. I don't think Wilson's great, but he's throwing passes down the field that a Steeler quarterback hasn't made since Ben Roethlisberger. So that has them, to my opinion, that has them a little more alive than I think they've been with Pickett and with Rudolph. But not to the extent where I would, be picking them to win like 11 games right now.
803-0550. One other thing that happened in that Pittsburgh game last night. This is kind of beautiful. So there's a play late in the game as the Steelers are trying to run out the clock and the Giants are trying to get the ball back. And based on which broadcast you were watching would determine whether or not you knew what was happening. The main broadcast, it is 2nd and 3.
Yeah.
2nd and 3, the Steelers are running to try to kill the clock. They picked up 7 yards on 1st down, 2nd and 3. The Giants have some timeouts. They have the 2-minute warning. They're down 8. They just need the ball back. And on 2nd and 3, a flag comes in. Here's what happened on the regular broadcast with Joe Buck and Troy Aikman.
But it just speaks to really how dominant T.J. Watt has been. He's fun to watch.
12 players on defense in formation. That's a 5-yard
penalty. I mean, these penalties all night. Mainly against the offense of the Giants, but 12 men in the formation, which adds 5.
Then they go on to talk about how JJ or TJ Watt's brothers were tweeting at him. They put tweets on the screen.
Mm-hmm.
Which, fine. You know, hey, you're telling a story. They're too busy talking about TJ Watt and his impact on the game. And they say that adds none of these penalties all night. That's another 5.
For Aikman, it doesn't even enter his mind because he's ready to jump right in with, man, these penalties all night.
Well, that was Buck that said that, though.
Or Buck. Excuse me.
Buck said that, yeah. These penalties all night. That's Buck.
But just like it doesn't even enter the sphere.
Nope. And they're talking about tweets and TJ Watt as right. The Steelers get a 1st down. And it's I mean, Buck is, if nothing else, implying more penalties kill the Giants. Okay, what did that sound like on the Manning cast?
12 players on the field.
On purpose, right? Give them the first down. They got too much yards on first down, so just give them the first down there.
I agree. And you can't decline it anymore, right? Because they call it before the ball's snapped.
A little loophole in the rules.
Right away. Eli, on purpose.
Yeah.
And you're told what's actually happening.
And why they would do it.
Why it was smart. And it worked.
Yeah. Yeah, they got the ball back. Manning cast by a million.
Well,
it depends your flavor, I guess, but if you're looking for sharp and insightful, it's not even a competition.
Right. If you're looking for someone to say 30 times momentum has gone one way or the other,
right,
then watch the main broadcast where they're going to convince you that that's really what's at work all the time.
Right.
And here's a Giants team that's not good with a coach that's maybe in trouble, and he could get fired any – I feel like he could get fired any day. Who knows? They're having a bad year again.
Dable?
I think he could get fired.
The owner, though, just came out a week ago and gave them a vote of confidence.
That usually means you're getting fired soon, doesn't it? I don't know.
Maybe. I think the owner knows he's the reason they're bad because he picked the quarterback and he's not holding his coach accountable for
right.
it. Because it wasn't his coach's fault. It was his fault. Maybe I'm wrong on that.
Well,
maybe he'll fire him anyway.
Either way, smart play.
Yes.
Maximizing your chances to win, taking a penalty on purpose. Smart play.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Manning cast has got it back together. Like they were a little sloppy at the beginning of the year with their broadcasts and delays and stuff, and now they're just like, it's like clockwork. Everything is so good. The guests have been good. The delay issues are mostly gone, almost actually entirely gone, and you're back to getting just that. Like where the moment you're hearing from them after the game is, oh, this is what Eli or Peyton said smart, and they did it in the moment.
Yep.
I think it's a far better viewing experience.
803-0550 and 1-888-550-2550. I have a good trivia question for you. I've just been working this up.
I thought I had one, but there was only one answer to it, or two answers to it.
I've got a good one.
Okay.
I'm going to go ahead and say, tooting my own horn, this is a good trivia question. It's a hockey trivia question.
Okay. Before you do yours, the one I was trying to see, like, how many names there would be. How many players do you think have more catches, yards, and touchdowns than Keon Coleman? First eight games of their careers with the Bills. Like, wouldn't you have thought there was a list? There's not.
Well, first eight games as a rookie?
Yeah. Okay, first eight games of your career.
Because one of the answers is Diggs.
Right, Diggs would have been an
came
answer.
In right away in his first eight games.
Yeah, no, this is rookie, like, for starting your career with the Bills, who's had more receiving production than Keon Coleman? And there's only two names. Jerry Butler in 1979, and then Sammy Watkins. That's it.
It's pretty good.
So Coleman, like, for a rookie receiver, this is the third best start to a career in Bills history. Yours is hockey?
Hockey trivia.
Okay.
Stamkos-based.
Okay. Who got the lap last night against his former team, the Lightning.
You want to know? Want some trivia?
Yeah, let's do it.
Let's do some instant trivia. I was working this up. And I was trying to figure out, like, how can I ask this? What can we do? So last night, Steven Stamkos, he went back to Tampa, got a welcome back, did a lap on the ice.
Yep.
Cool moment. Stamkos played 1,082 games with the Tampa Bay Lightning.
Okay.
Which is not nearly as high on the list as I thought it would be.
He missed a lot of time due to injury, I think, too.
That's right.
Yeah.
First, this isn't the trivia. How many players have played more games with one franchise than Steven Stamkos? This isn't only one franchise, but how many players have played more than 1,082 games for one team?
Active or all time?
All time.
I would probably guess a good amount.
It's 52.
Yeah, yeah.
52 have played more.
Yeah, that's not that... For that number, that's not that surprising for me.
Here's your trivia question.
Okay.
Active. Eight.
Active?
Eight. There are eight players active. If I've got all my numbers here right, eight active players have played more games with a franchise. Doesn't have to be the only franchise.
But a franchise.
More than 1,082 games with one team. There are eight active.
Okay. Ovechkin.
1,433.
Crosby.
1,282.
Malkin.
1,155.
Letang.
1,097. Those are all correct.
Okay.
Marchand.
No.
I don't know if he
counts as
Let me check where he is. Marshawn is at 1,038. He'll get there this year.
I don't know if this guy would count as active. Does Nicholas Backstrom count as active?
He is not active.
Okay.
He is on the list.
He's like LTIR
sure.
nonsense.
He has not played this year.
Okay.
I'll give it to you. It's not,
okay.
It's not
But that's
wrong.
Not one of the eight.
Right.
Okay.
He might be active. There's another guy that's hurt.
He might never play again, though. So
there
it's
you
like,
go. So I don't know what to do with him.
It's like Ben Bishop being a Sabre.
Sure.
Except he is still technically a Capital. Okay, 1,000 games. Pavelski retired, so he's not going to be right. Is Zach Parise hanging around the league somewhere still? He was in Colorado. I'm going to say no on him. How many old guys are left in the league? Like, Tavares doesn't get there because he split half and half.
Also, your answer of Zach Parise, his highest number with a team was 558.
Oh, he's not even close. I thought he was in Minnesota forever.
He split.
Okay.
Players still active with more games with a franchise than Stamkos had with the Lightning. You have four left.
I want to get these because this is like guys. This could be guys that like you don't even like realize they're still in the league, maybe.
Or three like, are currently with this the same team.
They're with their same. Okay.
Three of them are.
Okay. Let me look at a list. I need to look at the standings. Hold on.
How many left are there?
Logos.
Three?
Four.
Is Brent Burns one of them?
No.
You were thinking with San Jose, maybe?
Yeah. Oh, no, he started in Minnesota.
Right. Oh, right. What about three that are still with the same team? Well, let me get the one maybe that's not with the same team. Is Claude Giroux going to be the one that's not on the same team?
No.
Okay.
Jamie Benn.
Correct.
Oh, good. Yeah.
Jamie Benn
yep.
has played 1,121 games with the Stars.
Oh, Kopitar.
Kopitar, 1,382 games with the Kings.
Doughty.
1,177 games with the Kings.
So are we only missing...
One more.
The guy that didn't is doing it with someone else now?
He's currently on another team.
Ooh. This is the one I want. Who is hanging around?
Zemgus Girgensons is who we're looking. No.
No. He can't be that far off, though, right?
He's actually pretty far off, but.
Is he?
Yeah.
How many games did he get for the Sabres? Like 800? It's less than that? Gabriel Landeskog's not going to count for this. He's not going to get there.
Girgensons, 688.
That felt like 1,500.
You should get this answer.
I should get this answer?
Yeah.
Are you sure about Landeskog?
No, he's not doing it on a different team anyway.
Right, right.
I should get this answer.
Yep, you should get this answer. One more player that has played more games with one team than Steven Stamkos played with. They should get a victory lap on the ice if they return.
Patrick Kane. Yeah.
Yep. Those are your eight.
Yeah, that'll happen too.
Not bad trivia, huh?
No, it's pretty good. I like that.
Stamkos.
I think Taze is like maybe going to come back at some point too.
Jonathan
Taze? He never officially retired. He had like an injury thing, went away for a year. I think there was out there like maybe he'd come back, but nothing's happened. So, but maybe.
Man, he hasn't played since 2022-23. So he's
yeah, he missed all 36. Last year, hasn't started this year. So maybe he's done. But he's never officially retired at least.
Yeah.
All right.
He had 1,067 games.
While we're on old guys, what's Ovechkin at right now?
For goals?
Yeah, has he got any more? Two.
I was going to say, he must not be scoring because I'm not hearing much about it.
He's got 5 points in 7 games, but we don't need points, Ovi. We need goals. Goals. He should just be shooting the puck. That's it. He is, it looks like, what, 40 away? 40 away from breaking the record. So he's got work to do.
It's not happening. I don't mean it's not happening at all.
But it's not happening this year.
It's not happening this year.
It would be pretty stunning if it happened this
year. How many would have to have this year for you to think, you know what, it's not going to happen? Like 18?
If he had 18 total for the year?
Yeah.
So 18 total for the year, he would need those still. Like, I don't know. I think he's getting there no matter what. Like, he scores 18 goals. And
we're talking about him still only needing 24 next year? Well, I guess that would be more, right?
That's what I'm saying. He would have to go up.
Okay, that's maybe that's a good way for me to do it. For me to think that it's possible he's not going to break Gretzky's record again, he would need to have less goals this year than he would need next year.
So the cutoff so is like scored, 21?
Sure, yeah. Because like if he scored 24 this year and needed 18 next year, I would think he's getting it.
Yeah.
And also, if you're the Capitals and you're Ovechkin, you know, I mean, you're putting a banner up in the arena, aren't you?
Yes.
Like, it's going to be an all-time night for your franchise. Aren't you manufacturing it if you have to? It's like, you ever watch Mr. 3000 with Bernie Mac?
No. I know of it, but I've never seen it.
I don't think you need to watch it.
Maybe I have seen it.
He comes out of retirement.
Yeah, maybe I have seen
three hits at like 50 years old.
In
just
Japan?
To get,
in Japan?
No, back on his former team.
Is there a movie called Mr. Baseball then?
That might be a different one.
I'm thinking of Tom Selleck, Mr. Baseball.
Okay, that I haven't seen. But he just needs three hits. He's 50. Comes back to get the 3,000. Like that. Ovechkin could be 50 years old. If he needs one more goal, you're playing him. You're getting him out there on the ice because he's got to get the record. It's going to be the second greatest moment in your franchise's history behind him hoisting the Stanley Cup. You got to have it. So I think he's getting it. Almost no matter what if he had 10 goals this year, maybe I would change my opinion. Because then it might feel like you got to do a lot of work to get there. But I also think he's going to score more than 10 goals. He's playing 19 minutes a night. He's still playing on the first line. Power play. He's going to get there.
Mr. Baseball starring Tom Selleck has an audience score of 41%,
okay,
and a tomato critics score of 11%.
Woof.
A professional
that is a rare score to see that low.
Tom Selleck, Jack Elliott, who gets traded to the Dragons, a Japanese team, openly unhappy about the change. Elliott isn't eager to adapt to a new culture, proceeds to get on the bad side of his teammates, including one other American, Max Hammer Dubois. Eventually, Elliott decides to make a real effort, attempting to improve his game and his attitude, but will it be enough to help lead his team to victory? Mr. Baseball.
Okay. Mr. 3000, in comparison, got a 55 on the tomato meter, but a 30 on the critic score.
Well, it's better.
Yeah. Stan Ross retires after getting his 3,000th hit. 9 years later, a clerical error is discovered, invalidating three of his hits and keeping Ross from the ultimate baseball honor. 47-year-old convinces the Brewers to let him rejoin the team to make his last three hits. It's a good movie. I'm in a baseball mood right now, so I might need a baseball movie. What's the best baseball movie I should see that I haven't? Because I haven't seen most of them. One baseball movie this week, if I had to see one, what should it be?
Best baseball movie. People will say For Love of the Game.
Okay, never seen it. Never seen Sandlot. Never seen The Natural.
Sandlot is...
The Natural was filmed here.
Right.
Which makes me think that should be the one I see. But
I was almost about to say something like Sandlot's not a baseball movie. Of course it is. It's more of a coming-of-age kids movie. Like, not a kids movie, but it's coming-of-age.
Okay.
That features, obviously, baseball centrally to it.
Yeah. Like,
what's the best baseball movie?
I think the ones I've seen,
You've seen Rookie of the Year.
I've seen Rookie of the Year. I've seen 42, the Jackie Robinson one. I've seen The Rookie with, who was that in there? Dennis Quaid.
Major League is the best baseball movie.
I've seen Major League. Okay, so maybe
I
have
wrong?
Seen more
is
than
that
I
that
think.
Is that wrong? Major League.
I think that's right.
Moneyball.
Moneyball.
Oh, Moneyball's best baseball movie. I love Moneyball.
Moneyball's a good movie.
Soundtrack's great. Acting's great. Moneyball. Analytics, baby. Maybe Mr. Baseball.
Nothing makes a better movie than analytics.
Tom Selleck in a baseball movie?
Mr. Baseball's not a bad movie.
It's pretty bad.
I enjoy it.
Another one I've never seen. We should rank these. What order?
You should rank the movies you've never seen, then see them all, and then re-rank them.
Bill Durham. Bull Durham.
It's a great movie.
Should that go above?
Yes, that's a classic. Yes, you should see Bull Durham.
Trouble with the Curve, I've never seen.
Never.
Clint Eastwood.
That one's okay. It's pretty good. It's like a baseball scout movie, honestly.
I've seen Field of Dreams. I've seen Angels in the Outfield. Bad News Bears, of course. Maybe I've seen more of these. Fever Pitch. Jeez, that was a disaster. All right, baseball movies.
One thing, did they announce this last night? Where did I see this originally last night? Might have been on the broadcast, on the football game. Anyway, do you know that December 9th, Monday Night Football, Bengals-Cowboys. We are getting another one of these special broadcasts.
Okay.
You know the Nickelodeon one that has all the stuff and they slime people?
I saw this. Yeah.
So ESPN, Disney, The Simpsons,
yeah,
and the NFL will premiere The Simpsons Sunday Funday Football, a Monday night, animated Monday night football game transformed in real time into iconic Simpsons world using Sony's Beyond Sports technology. Adams Stadium in Springfield will host the fully immersive fan viewing experience featuring the Bengals and the Cowboys.
Yeah.
The Simpsons Funday Football alternate viewing presentation will stream on Disney Plus, ESPN Plus, and blah, blah, blah.
Mina Kimes and Dan Orlovsky will be doing commentary.
Okay.
With Drew Carter calling the game. Saw that.
This is a definite I'm going to tune in to see what this looks
like. I think I'm going to want to watch the whole thing.
Each Bengals and Cowboys player will appear as a motion-enabled animated player. Through state-of-the-art tracking technology enabled by NFL's next-gen stats, Sony's Beyond Sports, Sony's Hawkeye.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Hawkeye, like the tennis technology?
Hold on, here we go. We're getting more. Bart and the Bengals.
Oh, Bart's
Homer
leading the Bengals.
And the Cowboys is the headline presentation.
Okay.
Bart Simpson sides with Joe Burrow and the Bengals. Homer aligns with Dak Prescott and the Cowboys. For most of the game, Bart and Homer will let their new Bengals and Cowboys teammates manage the action, but the iconic father and son duo won't sit on the sidelines for the entire game. Each will select key opportunities to play offense or defense, replacing a player and joining his other 10 teammates on the field.
Let's go.
Listen.
This all sounds amazing.
True or false? The famous video of the Burger King guy intercepting Drew Bledsoe led to this moment. We're going to get Homer Simpson as Jamar Chase. Oh, wait, he's in the Cowboys. Homer Simpson.
Yeah, he's going to be CeeDee Lamb.
He will be CeeDee Lamb. There is a football game on television this year where Dak Prescott will throw a touchdown to Homer Simpson.
Yes.
Surrounding the gameplay, Marge and Lisa will interview players during the game. Maggie will fly the Skycam, while popular characters, show references, and aesthetics will bring a real Sunday night with the Simpsons feel to Monday Night Football.
I think I'm going to want to watch the whole thing. Beginning to end. I have not done that for any of these, though. Listen, like, the whole thing. Like, let me just watch the game beginning to end on this. You see the clips, usually, is what I end up with.
The memes that are going to come out of this.
Oh, yeah. Well, they got a top score to beat of Mike McCarthy angry at the end of a Nickelodeon game, which is still the greatest meme of the NFL's ever produced.
All due respect to Joe Buck and Troy Aikman, but can I just say this? If you're Joe Buck and Troy Aikman, wouldn't you constantly be like, why do you guys keep going with these broadcasts against us? Why?
Because
who else does this? You keep offering people something else to watch. What are you trying to say? Now I got a feed where it's going to be Bart Simpson is, what, playing left tackle on a play?
It is funny that, they paid Buck and Aikman, and since then, it's Monday night doubleheaders with another game and another broadcast crew. It's the Manning cast almost every week, providing another opportunity. Now it's this. They really are giving you every opportunity
to not watch
Buck and Aikman.
Yeah.
Which I appreciate because I am not a fan of Buck and Aikman at all. But will I be not a fan enough to watch a full game of The Simpsons?
Are you ready?
Animated. I don't know.
Are you ready to see Micah Parsons replaced by Homer Simpson digitally cutting around the edge to haul down Joe Burrow? Are we prepared for that as a nation?
We better be. It's coming.
I'm going to watch it.
Now that'll open the door to what's next then, too. Because we've done, what have we had? We've had Toy Story, right? There was a Toy Story broadcast.
That's right.
There was Nickelodeon. Now we're getting The Simpsons. Are we going to get like a Marvel simulcast at some point where like Iron Man is throwing the football to Captain America? Is that too far? When's too far? Is there any too far?
There's no too far.
They're
putting Homer Simpson on the field. That's one of the players.
Right.
What's going to happen when, next year they're like, let's bring this back, and instead of Derrick Henry, it's Homer Simpson carrying the football. Okay.
I like it.
8030550.
Oh, we had SpongeBob and Patrick Starr, right? That would have been the Nickelodeon one, because you remember when Patrick Starr dunked on Russell Wilson? You remember that clip? Oh, it was...
What was it?
Patrick Starr. Dunked Russell Wilson threw an interception.
Oh, yeah.
And Patrick Starr, like, he said something.
That's not what he wanted to cook, maybe, is what? Something. He's something that roasted Russell Wilson on the air. All right, I'm looking forward to this. You know what? I'm going to watch it. I'm definitely going to give it a shot.
Definitely going to watch that. I can't wait to see fancy Kirk Cousins in primetime. They scored 17. They scored 17 points this week. Fancy Kirk Cousins did.
Yeah, they're 3-5.
He also got really mad at the officials because they wouldn't snap the ball once. All right, Jeremy and Joe, we'll get a break in. If you want to join us about really anything for that matter, really anything at all, 803-0550 on WGR.
I'd never seen it before. So when a guy taps out of a game, big third down, AFC South championship basically on the line here for the lead in the division. Mm-hmm. Everything that we've been this year, massive game. It's Houston Texans. Normally, this second game between these two teams at the end of the year, because there's a lot on the line. Guess what? There's a lot on the line right now, especially whenever you talk about playoffs and moving forward. He makes a massive play, takes a big time shot there, but bounces up. This guy's tough. I like that. I was excited. Tough guy. Takes a shot, gets right back up, toss. I've never seen that before in my life out of a quarterback, legitimately. And I know I echo the sentiments of everybody else that has tweeted or talked about it or done anything about it. An NFL quarterback doesn't tap out of a game, especially if they're able to go play. That's kind of a part of the position. You know, that is kind of a thing. You're the face of the franchise. Whenever you're tapping out, whenever you're healthy, what are your message are you sending to everybody in the building, everybody in the locker room, the entire city, the fan base? And I think what it does is it makes people think, like, get this guy the f*** off of our team.
Pat McAfee on Anthony Richardson tapping out. He needed a blow on third and long.
Mm-hmm.
What do you think, Joe? Too much being made of this? Or is he's getting crushed. What would we be doing if that were our young quarterback?
I think we'd probably be flipping out. Yeah.
Are you sure?
I think... Bills fans, the Bills, I don't know. I feel like it would be a thing.
I feel like what fan bases tend to do is overly protect their young quarterback because you need to believe this player is going to take you places.
Maybe.
So you desperately, this is why, you know, if you talk to Bears fans right now about who would you rather have, Jaden Daniels or Caleb Williams, like, I'd rather have Caleb Williams. You know, it's going to, long term, and they're not wrong. It's just, you're going to stick up for your guy. That's how it works. We'd be flipping out. It is wild.
It would be tough because you never see it.
You never see it.
You never see this. Like, checking out of a game because you're tired. Like, it would be...
He ran a lot on the previous play. By the way, he ran to get back to the original line of scrimmage. He evades a rush.
A bunch of guys.
Moves around, and it's a no gain, and then he taps on the helmet, and he's off for third down.
Yeah. I don't want to say that too much is being made of it because I think everything McAfee is saying there might be what the players are thinking in the locker room. That might be right. You're trying to become the face of the franchise. You're trying to be the leader of that football team for a long time. I just feel like you can't be doing that.
That said, okay, let's flip it around. Jaden Daniels did that in the third quarter of Sunday's game, and then everything else is the same. Are they still mad about it? If you win, and if you're great... Like, my thought on Richardson is that's the least of their concerns, that he tapped out of a game. The guy, he didn't, I guess a lot of the film analysis people are saying it wasn't as bad as 2-for-15, which is how he started. He actually did place the ball in spots and his receivers let him down, so maybe the game looked worse than it was. But I think there's a lot of evidence to suggest that that guy's not ready to play right now anyway. So. Right. Tap it out and getting Joe Flacco in, what do I think? I think I got a chance to get the first down.
But if you're adding in any sort of concern of, like...
Commitment.
Willingly. On top of the concerns you already have with him as a football player, like, that's not... When Allen was a rookie, like, Allen was super inconsistent. It's maybe not even that different than what Richardson is doing right now, where there are big plays, there is a ton of inconsistency, and there's a lot of running.
But guys play for him because he's a dog.
Yeah, like, Allen kind of earned that respect right out of the gates. If you have all those inconsistencies Allen had as a rookie, but now you're throwing, I don't know if I could trust this guy, on top of it, I just think it would sound a lot different. And it would have sounded a lot different here.
Yeah.
Had that been the case. Like, I would wonder, right now, Allen was someone that redid his throwing motion. Like, he worked at that. He went away in the offseason for a couple years, and he watch him in his rookie year versus now. He throws the ball differently. Like, he worked at his craft and worked at his game to get to this point. And I would have a question right now with Anthony Richardson probably needing to do something of the same to become a more consistent quarterback. I would wonder today if he's willing to do it. Maybe that's wrong to levy all that against him because of one thing here, but I would just have that wonder. I would at least have that wonder about him. But you're the Colts, you have to go, you can't bench him to me. You have to ride out the year. What are you going to do? If you bench him today, what happens? Flacco comes in, you win 9 games, and then what? You start next year with Richardson and you do it all over again? Like, I would just leave him in. Leave him in as long as you can. Your season's not about squeaking into the playoffs. It's about finding out how good Anthony Richardson is. But they're probably going to... Well, should I say probably? Does it sound like they're going to Flacco?
I mean, they're evaluating everything. Does this give the coach a window to do it and not say it's about his play, but just...
Wouldn't he be making it worse, though, if he...
benches a guy because of that?
If he benched him now and even said it wasn't because of that, it would come off that way. It would come off as you're benching him because you don't trust him, because you're worried about his commitment level. Like that, I almost feel like the coach might be stuck a little bit. If he wanted him to come out, I feel like he might be starting up a fire if he pulled him right now.
Yeah. 803-0550. Small percentage of the fantasy football world today waking up to find out of a stat correction. And Joe, I'm pleased to announce that it has won me a game.
All right.
Bijan Robinson.
Feel about stat corrections now?
I feel great about it. I won a game in fantasy.
Yeah.
Nobody cares about my fantasy team. That's okay. I'm bringing this up to talk about your fantasy teams, all of you out there. I won a team by 0.02 because Bijan Robinson has been given 1.6 additional points because of a 6-yard pass originally given to Darnell Mooney. So the fantasy football, everybody right. With Bijan, which is not a... I mean, he's owned in every league. So every single league out there is going to have Bijan getting 1.6. And how many teams that had that guy lost by less than 1.6 because you won your game?
Right.
Then there's Darnell Mooney, who
lost 1.6.
Lost 1.6. Probably not as many teams out there of Darnell Mooney, but he lost 1.6. Bijan, one of the top running backs in the league, a big, big...
yeah.
Point change.
It could be both. Bijan started everywhere. Mooney, I think, is around like 50% right now. Like about half the leagues, he's in a lineup. This one is like the most obvious stat correction change ever, though, isn't it? Like if you ever have a debate about like should stat corrections, like a yard here or there,
a spot,
this
a got fumble
this
yard.
Got changed from a rush to a reception. This was just they put the wrong person down, right?
Yep.
Like Bijan caught the ball and they said Mooney did.
Mooney
like,
wears number 1, Bijan wears number 7.
Yeah.
That's
does their one have the little
it might
drop thing at the top? Makes it look like a 7. Yeah. This was a good change. We in our dynasty league, you have Bijan, I have Mooney, and I don't think it affected anything.
No, because we didn't play each other.
No. And also I won by 7. If I had won by 1, I might be a little bit more upset.
No.
Thank you, Najee Harris, for not being terrible finally. After 4 years.
I also staved off the old chop and guillotine last night.
Yeah. We're both going in guillotine still.
Still there. Yeah, all right.
We get double elimination in that league?
Yes, Thanksgiving week is double elimination.
Thanksgiving week, double elimination.
It's because there's no buys.
Yeah.
There were no buys last week, too. This past week we just played, there were no buys.
Yeah. And Cooper would have got some people eliminated in guillotine.
Maybe.
The other guillotine league I'm in, I think Cooper got somebody dropped because he only had one catch.
The guillotine format is someone, I'm a commissioner of 3 guillotine leagues, so I make the chops every Monday,
yeah.
Or Tuesday rather, and it's injuries. Like, oh, here's this team, who got chopped out? Mike Evans. That guy, whoever had Mike Evans, like your team was in real trouble. Oh, a couple injuries, bang, 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 these guys are all out, see you later. Or Caleb Williams didn't really put up too much. Like, it's just... it's kind of funny because you end up seeing what team did the worst, and it's a bunch of one bad week. Sorry. It's very unforgiving, the format. Really lucky to make it through. Anybody that does, really. 803-0550 and 1-888-550-2550 if you'd like to join us. Extended Sports coming up in the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show on WGR.
breaking sports news airs first here. Guaranteed. WGR Sports Radio 550, 2020 Sports.
Extendo Sports.
Just posted a Twitter poll at the end of the show. Maybe we'll talk a little more about it tomorrow. True or false? Your team getting swept in a final best-of-seven series undoes the celebration and good vibes of even going. This is for you, Yankee fans, because Evan, who's in to produce the Extra Point show coming up, said, calling for Boone to be fired.
He blew this. I think he's blown this series already in game one with taking out
Cole.
Yeah, taking out Cole too early, and also the home run in the first inning. After they lost game one, I was like, they're not going to win. Maybe I'm just I'm not like Sal, who watches every Yankee game, but I try to pay attention from time to time.
Yeah,
I agree. I would rather them not make the World Series than go to the World Series and get swept.
The sweep is disrespectful, the fact that it even happens to your team.
The front page of the Daily News today was the Temple of Broom.
That's funny. Joe wrote in as a response, it depends. If it's your first time there, like the Yankees don't fit this, but if the Sabres made the Cup Finals and they got swept, we would not be upset.
No.
That's fair. That's right. This is a Yankee poll. 85% are saying yes. This undoes the fact that like, you even really went. Congratulations, you got smoked.
What if
if they get swept?
What if the Bills made the Super Bowl and lost 52-0?
Don't forget.
No.
Don't forget. The last 3-0 series we saw went 3-3.
The Panthers and the Oilers?
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm also watching The Comeback. It's a big Red Sox documentary on Netflix right now, so it's tough to watch that and think it's impossible.
Panthers-Oilers was the all-time momentum v. momentum.
Yeah.
The team had it and then lost it, and then that team that had it lost it, and then...
Yes.
Imagine having it up 3-0, then losing it, then getting it back. Anyway.
Do you follow Shiel Kapadia?
I do.
From The Ringer. He's got a piece that he just posted a few minutes ago that the Jets lost the Patriots one of the worst coaching games of all time. They used three timeouts before the first quarter was over.
I guess that's a Rodgers thing.
Yeah.
Rodgers has been one of the worst in the league at calling plays in time.
Yeah.
He flirts with the play clock all the time.
And he blamed Salah at the beginning of the year, didn't he?
Yeah.
He said we should be holding like linemen responsible or something for the false starts and for like the late penalties. Yeah. They had a cowardly punt, I guess, too, in this game. It's how you lose when you give up 200 yards and no turnovers. Tuesday. I mean, we only have baseball tonight after a sports equinox yesterday. I
know. Only baseball.
I mean, basketball is back.
That's right.
And hockey. We got three of the four.
LeBron only had 11 last night. You know, hey, far be it from me to criticize LeBron, but I feel like a guy that scores 11, you shouldn't, you know, put his son on your team just as a favor. He's only put up 11.
That's true. The other night, though, he was on fire, and he actually got mad at a teammate because, like, there's a funny video of it. Him yelling at a teammate, like, swing it to me. I was hot. He had made, like, 7 three-pointers in a row, and a guy took a contested two, and he was mad about it. So, adventures in LeBron. Yeah, he had a bad game last night, but 32 the night before. Triple-double. I also saw that he would have retired this year had his son not been there. So, if you're the Lakers, you might actually be thanking Bronny because it's the only reason LeBron's even still playing, or he would have been gone.
I'm seeing that someone tweeted in screenshots. In the new Call of Duty, there's a mission that takes place at a gala in the 90s, and you can overhear a conversation, people at a bar talking about Super Bowl 25.
Come on.
I mean, I don't have any...
Why are we doing this?
I don't have any reason to doubt this.
They're talking about Super Bowl 25?
There's a comment about Whitney Houston's anthem.
We're going to have to hear the audio.
And this. Norwood's mentioned here.
Okay.
I wonder if that's like AI-generated conversation based on this person being a Bills fan.
That could be. Is it everything now?
Possible. The commentary doesn't exactly make sense on the screenshots. Anyway. Let's leave that there. All right, the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show is coming up.